and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared his name, that thought upon his name. Just little things in each book that caused me to realize how great God is. I love the book of Mark. Mark was a failure in many people's eyes, and yet he got back into the race, and he said, look, I want to love the Lord. And he did. And God allowed him to write the second book of the New Testament. I like Romans. Romans is the book of doctrine that gives you the foundation you need. If you read the book of Romans, you know how you get to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love the book of Romans. I like the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. They're written from a prison to people that have been set free with no maliciousness, just the idea of trying to help them be more like Christ. And so tonight, well, I got to finish. I love the book of Revelation because our future is there. We have the brightest future of any place, anybody, people on earth. You know that, don't you? I mean, it's just around the corner. Heaven awaits. John said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to see the address of my home and see how the mail transfers. I'm looking forward to that. I don't think I'm going to worry much about what happens on this old earth. But the book of Ephesians, if you have your Bible, Ephesians 1. What a great book, chapter 1. We sang about it tonight, all the precious blood, Calvary's blood. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7, we started last week with Ephesians chapter 1, and you'll notice we got to verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Big, long word that means we've been bought out of sin. We've been redeemed. We now have a home in heaven. We're going to look at that in just a minute. You'll notice through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So in other words, the blood paid for our sins, but his grace is what gave it to us. Nobody in this room deserves to have the blood of Christ applied to your sin debt. But the riches of God's grace to everybody in this room, you can be redeemed because God just loves you. And you might say, well, why does God love me? What have I done? Nothing. That's a Texas term, nothing. Doesn't have a G on it. There's nothing in this room that anybody can do to gain favor with God. You just get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Would you save me and take me to heaven when I die? I got nothing to offer you. He knows that. But he loved you anyway. In whom we have redemption. We have been bought out of the slave market of sin. And I want you to see tonight, look if you would, in verse number 8, he says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He's given to us wisdom, the ability to know what's right and wrong, and prudence, the moral capability to do what's right and wrong. And then you'll notice he says, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, you might find that word mystery in the Bible, and you begin to wonder what it means, and you begin to think about what mystery is there. Well, it's real simple. Look in chapter 3, and if you would, look, if you would, in verse number 3. This is Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He's writing down chapter 3. Maybe you understood it in chapter 1, but notice, and then he says, well, let me give it to you. Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here's the mystery. Circle verse 6. It involves you and me. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. With who? The Jews? God's people. That's the mystery. In the whole Old Testament, Gentiles were sort of outside. They could become a proselyte as a Jew, but they really weren't that favored. Now there's a mystery. God has all along, when my son dies, I'm going to throw open the doors and I'm going to invite, I'm going to, plead with everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike, to be fellow heirs. Notice what he says, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, that you too can be saved. You don't have to be from the Jewish nation to get to heaven. We can trust him as our Savior, all of us. It's available for all. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 1. You'll notice, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure we have purposed in himself. It was his good pleasure. Let me see here. Scott, are you a Jew? No. Let's see. Joseph, are you a Jew? Okay, let's see. Brother Rob, are you a Jew? Okay. So by God's good pleasure, he just said, I want to save y'all. Wow. Everybody in this room, I just wanted to save you. It's my good pleasure to offer you heaven because of the blood of Christ, my son. Do you realize the privilege we have? That's the message. That's what he wants for us to get out. That everybody's eligible. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's available for you. If you've never taken the time to receive Christ, that's the good news. Notice, if you would, in verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. There's an appointed time when the time gets filled up. He threw open the doors and said, I want everyone to be saved, Jews, Gentiles alike. Notice in verse 11, and I want you to notice this, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now I'm just going to pause for a minute. If you've trusted Christ this morning, this evening, you have an inheritance in heaven. He said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He wants you to have a home in heaven with him. He's gone to heaven in John chapter 14 to prepare a home in heaven for you. He's predetermined where you're going to be in heaven. He's planning for it. Notice verse number 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. That when we see heaven, how many of you, when you walked into this building the first time, you kind of like, wow, just kind of, wow, a little bit. Raise your hand. Wow. You haven't seen anything yet. Wait, the Lord calls you home, and you step foot inside heaven, and you go, oh, my. Take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 21. I want you to see the wow factor. Revelation 21. It's only got 22 chapters. Go to the very back of your Bible and back one page. All right? Notice in verse 1. Revelation 21, 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. God's going to clean up this old world. He's going to clean up the atmosphere. He's going to clean up all the mess that we have made. And notice he says, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away and there's no more sea. He said, now look here, watch what he's going to do. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I don't know there's very many sights that are more beautiful than a beautiful young lady that's about to get married. And she is in beautiful white. Well, if you would, notice down, if you would, in chapter 21, verse 19. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Now, if you're a lady and you've got a diamond on your finger, That diamond's a little chip that somebody paid a kajillion dollars for. Well, in heaven, he attaches precious jewels to a city. Can you imagine the glory of God shining on those jewels? It must be blinding. Notice what else. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. You ever heard of the pearly gates? There's the verse. Every several gate was of one pearl. A pearl describes something, one word. Can anybody tell me? What is a pearl sort of, when you think of a pearl, you think of one word. What is it? Suffering. That's the way a pearl is made. So every gate into heaven was because of the suffering of Christ. 12 gates on the, 3 gates on the east, 3 on the west, 3 on the north, 3 on the south. Notice if you would. And the street of the city was pure gold. Wow. It cost us like $168,000 to put asphalt outside. And the Lord says, no asphalt in my city. Pure gold streets. Now notice, it's a unique kind of gold. Look, if you would, as it were transparent glass. So we've never seen this kind of gold. It's the rarest of the rare. And you'll notice, if you would, he said, verse 22, now I want you to get this, and listen very carefully. This is our inheritance. Now watch this. And I saw no temple therein. There's not going to be a church building. You'll never see a steeple, not in heaven. You might say, well, why not? Because Jesus is there. We'll be able to see him face to face. Notice, if you would, I want you to see, look in verse number, chapter 22, look in verse number 4. And they, his children, us, servants, they shall see his face. His name shall be in their foreheads. We'll be his children forever. We'll be able to see him face to face. We'll be able to walk up and talk to the King of Kings. We're there for all eternity. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 5, and there shall be no night there. I love that. No night. That means I don't have to sleep. That's great. You just go all the time. Energizer batteries. We got them all. We got that beat. Notice, if you would, he said, there'll be no night there. There'll be no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. The Shekinah glory of God is going to light the world, and we're never going to need the sun or the moon again. You and I, folks, cannot wrap our minds around what God has prepared for us. I hath not seen, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man. We've never even dreamed of what God has prepared for us. Why don't we serve him with all of our hearts? With that as our future. I cannot imagine the hurt in the heart of God if we don't take to heart the privileges we have as his children. The excitement, it may be tomorrow. Until then, we just sang the song. Notice, if you would, go back over to Ephesians chapter 1. Look, if you would, in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now, I want to take just a minute here. We have it. You have it right now. Oh, you haven't claimed it, but you have an inheritance in heaven. Now, somebody describe an inheritance. How do you get an inheritance? Somebody tell me. Rick? Somebody passes away and gives it to you. Who passed away to give it to us? Jesus Christ. He paid for your inheritance. It's from him. Now let me ask you this. Wait a minute. How much do you have to pay for it? It's a gift. It's a gift from somebody that loves you. You have an inheritance. You've already gotten it. Oh, it's in your name. You haven't gotten it yet, but it's in your name. Obtained. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to get this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. Notice this. Excuse me. Verse number 4. To an inheritance, this is 1 Peter 1, 4. Incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. It doesn't need painting. It doesn't need remodeling. It doesn't need cleaning. It is inheritance that never fades. Now notice this. That fadeth not away. What are the next five words? Reserved in heaven for you. How many have ever gone to a banquet? Maybe a wedding banquet and you've gone in and, or maybe you made reservations at some fancy restaurant and you made reservations, you go there and it's got Mr. and Mrs. Pittman and you've got David and Susan right there. I don't know about you, but that kind of wows me. Now you got to pay a kajillion dollars to get a restaurant like that. But you pay them and you're ready. The maitre d's got the little thing over his wrist. You're the Pittmans. Will you come here? We have a spot for you. And you go in and it's kind of like we're looking at each other like, whoa, we overbought, you know. We're walking. All of a sudden there's this table. David, Janet. Wow. Reserved in heaven for you. That's God's promise. Now, okay, you might say, well, I ain't got it yet. Take your Bible, turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. Notice this. In verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, this is, you trusted Christ, after that you heard the word of truth. Now, folks, that's why we pass out tracts. It's not because we've got nothing else better to do. It's just that you want people to hear the story that Jesus loves them. They may take the tract, tear it up, and throw it in the ground, in the dirt. But when they stand before God in Revelation 20, verse number 11, and I saw a great white throne, him that sat upon it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. They'll remember tearing that tract up. Because they just threw away their ticket to heaven. Or they read it and said, oh, I've been looking for that. Dr. Jim Lyons, the man that is sort of my mentor for many years, 93 years old. He's got a tract ministry. And there have been 20-something thousand people that over the years, 50 years, have returned things like this, a little tract with the gospel in it. It says down at the bottom, please return this and I'll send you some materials that you can grow with. And he said 22,000 and change that have trusted Christ through a little gospel tract. Can you imagine payday when he gets to heaven? All the people that come up to him and say, were you the guy that wrote that? I did. But it was about Jesus. I just want to thank you. Well, notice, verse 13, whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth. They got to hear. And folks, that's why we're still here. Part of it is to help people hear the gospel. So you know what? We have to live right. Because nobody's listening if we do wrong. Notice the next phrase. The gospel of your salvation. The story of how you got saved. The gospel is good news. The good news of your salvation. Everybody needs that. Sometimes God has to get them in a position where they're willing to hear it. If they've got a, do you realize that that way down Russell Branch Parkway, we've got a Ferrari dealership. Down that way, we've got a Aston Martin dealership. I mean, we're between some of the most expensive cars in the world. And when people have got that kind of money and they've got that kind of a blessing, many times they're really not too interested in listening to about heaven. They think they got it now. They don't realize they're one step from hell. Do you realize the turn down here? How many know when you're going down Russell Branch and you turn and there's that little retention pond there? How many of you seen it? Okay, you'll see a little cross there. Young man got a new car, went racing down through here, 18 years old, 19 years old, and missed the turn, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour, and got killed. Was enjoying the freedom. Nobody around, empty road, had no idea. One step from eternity. As is appointed unto man once to die, and nobody knows that date. That's the reason we live right, expecting tomorrow may be the day that I see my Lord. I want him to be proud of me. I can remember being at the side of many people whenever a mate went to heaven. And I've seen some, one especially in my mind that says, oh, pastor, please pray that my mate doesn't die. I've got to talk to them one more time. Why? Because I yelled and screamed at them this morning on the way to work, and I just need to tell them one more time, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Please pray that they live. You never know the date the Lord says, son, come home. So we live like it's tomorrow. Notice, if you would, I want you to see this. Notice very carefully. You say, well, pastor, I understand about this inheritance in heaven. It sounds exciting, but I don't really have any proof that God is really serious. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. In whom also after that you believed. So the moment that you believed in Christ, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed is a term for stamped as real. You've been stamped as real, ready for heaven. Now watch, here's the proof. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. How many of you know what earnest money is? How many of you know earnest money is? When you go to buy a house, they will not accept a contract unless you give them a check for some amount of money, usually 1-2%. So if it's $500,000, you give them a check for $5,000. And that is your proof that you're serious about buying this house. And if you back out, in many cases, if they've gone down the road of ratification, then you lose your $5,000. You know what? Everybody in this room that's trusted Christ as Savior, God the Father gave you the Holy Spirit in your heart. How many of you've gotten saved, and since you've gotten saved, you know there's some things that whenever you do them, they don't feel right, and it's just like somebody's telling you, you need to make that right. Raise your hand. Let me see it. That is your earnest. The down payment on your inheritance. He said, I want to help you live right. I want to help you when you get to heaven. You get a full reward. You've got an inheritance already coming, but you can add to it. Take your Bible, last verse, turn to 2 John It's right in the back of your Bible. This is not going to be the last verse because this is not a positive verse. I like to end on positive things. 2 John, verse 8. Look to yourselves. Now, this is a personal responsibility for every Christian. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which, what's this, we have wrought. Now, listen very carefully. Let me make a couple of observations here. How many of you earned your own salvation? Nobody. So he's not talking about salvation. Watch. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Now take your Bible and turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Keep your finger there in 2 John, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to follow with me. Don't want to lose you. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, the foundation is in Jesus Christ. You can see that in the verse above it, verse 11. When you're saved, when you've been born into God's family, you've received an inheritance in heaven. It's in your name. It's undefiled, reserved for you. And now for every day that you live, you're laying up more treasure in heaven. Not that you're going to keep, you're going to lay it at Jesus' feet to show him how much you appreciate what he did for you in forgiving your sin. Now watch. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Okay, now let's go back. Keep your finger there. Go back to 2 John, verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. God has plans for you. He's created you unto good works. We're going to see that in chapter 2 of Ephesians. He's created you to earn all these rewards and to make a difference in this life. That's his plan for you. But he gives us the freedom to choose if we want to do it. Even after he's given us this inheritance in heaven and forgiven us our sins. So there's a day, once after we've gone to heaven, that he's planned to give us these rewards. So notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is called the judgment seat of Christ. Notice, if you would, now look at verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. This is a day of reward. This is a day of excitement. This is better than Christmas. Watch this. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Look to yourselves that we lose not that which we have wrought. You came to church tonight, was it to sing praises to the Lord? That's a reward that will stand the fire and its test. It's a permanent reward. When you read your Bible this morning, was it, Lord, show me, I want to draw up close to you as you prayed and talked with him? Everything that we do, you pull up to a stoplight, somebody cut you off, and they want to go left, and you let them with the Lord's blessing, you'll not lose your reward. Someone mistreats you, and you're good to them, they don't deserve it, you'll not lose your reward. Look to yourselves that we lose not that which we have wrought. Notice in verse 14, if any man's work abides which you have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Gold, silver, precious stones. The Bible says there's a white stone, Revelation 2. I don't know anything about it. Not much is given about it. There's other rewards in heaven that are mentioned that you and I, God has prepared for us things we haven't even thought about. He told us that in 2 Corinthians 2:9. Never even dreamed about them. You and I cannot imagine what heaven's going to be like. So let's live for him. Let's be excited about what he's got laid up, reserved in heaven for us. You know why there's the Lord said in Revelation chapter 22, he wipes all, 21, he wipes all tears from their eyes. There will be tears for two reasons. One, because verse number 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So our eternal life, our inheritance, is reserved in heaven for us and nothing can touch it. But the rewards of living right, we can lose if we don't keep our eyes upon the Lord. I can tell you this, there's some things I know, I'm sure I've done that were selfish things. Burned up. There'll be some holes in David Pittman's book of life, but I'm working to make sure every page has got something good on it that I can say to the Lord Jesus, I did love you. But you and I have a choice. He doesn't make us do right. But he does say, when you trust me as Savior, I'll lay up a home in heaven for you, an inheritance that's undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved for you. And as you live day by day as my child, and you represent me well, I've got gold, silver, and precious stone I'm going to give you. I want to reward you. I'll close with this. How many of you, as parents, love to reward your children for doing good? Raise your hand. Should be pretty well every hand. How many of you does it hurt when you have to say, no, you can't have that candy bar tonight because you didn't do good? Besides that, I'm going to eat it. I'm hungry. No. We love to be good to our children. And let me tell you this. God loves to be good to us. He wants you to have every reward possibly known to man. Look to yourselves that we lose not that which we have wrought. Our work that is done for Christ's sake. Now tonight, you're going to go out of here. We're going to have a word of prayer and you can slip out. When you come in Wednesday night or Sunday night, Sunday morning, and it's time to sing, sing for him. That you lose not your reward. When you have an opportunity to be good to somebody, like Joseph was to his brothers, lay up treasure in heaven. Today, the Lord loves us. And while Paul's in prison, he says, I want you to know something. In whom we have redemption through the blood of Christ, because of the riches of his grace to us. He's good to you. He's gracious to us. It's reserved in heaven for you, your future. Will you live for him? Chapter 2, he says, he created you for love and good works. Will we do that? Will we forgive people that don't deserve it? Will we live in the image of Christ? Let's bow our heads for the prayer tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, the Holy Spirit was given to you as the proof that he's coming to get us. So when you sense the Holy Spirit's presence, you remind yourself, he's coming. He loves me. He's given me inheritance in heaven. There's the proof. We're going to have a word of prayer. We'll stand to sing. Maybe you need to come tonight and just talk with the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for your goodness to me. Maybe you need to come and tell him you're sorry for something. Maybe you need to come and promise him that you're going to do better, whatever the need is tonight. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts. You've been way too good to us, Lord. There's nothing we could offer that'd be too great. Thank you for what you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.